All right, welcome to another podcast episode. I am in a study room that sounds really echoey right now, so I hope that this this podcast isn't too hard to understand. Okay, so last night, I'm sitting in bed. Almost every night, I try really hard to do some kind of reading before I go to bed. And if you've, I think I've talked about my evening routines before, but one of the main things I do, I have books that inspire me or books that are on a topic that fascinates me. Lately, I've been studying marriage and relationship psychology. And that's just been something that's been really on my radar lately. So as I'm studying, I'm reading this book by Dr. Gottman, he wrote a book called The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work, which I didn't find super profound because I guess one of the lucky ones. My parents happened to have a great marriage and that was kind of what I modeled after. So everything that was in there was not super revolutionary to me. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, that's obvious to me. You know, I was like, that's what my parents do. And in fact, a lot of things I thought were like, yeah, that seems like a very basic level. That's like survival, marriage survival stuff. But the last point of his 7 points was super profound to me. He was talking about how one of his 7 principles for making marriage work is creating shared meaning. And I kind of been bouncing around through the book and I just was like, this is really interesting. So I started reading into it. And as I was reading it, I just was super, super impressed by this thought. And now I'm going to take a little tangent. So now you have that background. I want to take a little tangent to this is something I've talked about with so many friends and so many colleagues. And that is the idea of the fairy tale, right? The fairy tale relationship. I believe personally that we've been programmed by Hollywood and popular media and pop culture to want that perfect Instagram-worthy Hollywood Disney princess kind of relationship. I personally believe it's more common with women than men, but men are definitely not exempt from that at all. And here's what it looks like, right? Pretty much you meet somebody and there's instant chemistry. And then crazy things happen. All these crazy coincidences just line up and you guys just find each other at random places at random times. And then first kiss just knocks your socks off. And then things move so quickly and everything just seems to make sense. And like, you knew you're meant for each other and all these crazy things that go on, all like build you stronger. You know, we have this idea that's been really, we've been really programmed with, and even down to minute details. So like, for example, when we meet somebody, we say, how does this line up with my existing perception? So I'll meet a girl and it'll be a blind date and, you know, things kind of start going. And the whole time, every time I've been set up on a blind date, the whole time, actually I'll say with any date, I'm comparing what's going on right now with that girl with how I perceive love generally, right? So if there's crazy coincidences and immediate chemistry and all these crazy things and like we have like all the same hobbies and all this other stuff, I'm going, oh, this sounds like my fairy tale, right? That's the way we think as humans, right? We really cling to this concept of the fairy tale, this belief in fairy tales. As a result, we often are disappointed when things don't go according to that fairy tale mindset. Or, as I've seen very common, we often will end up in a relationship with someone for the wrong reasons. We might not have the right things lined up, but because, like, on a, like, we'd be a really cute couple. And I think everyone's guilty of that to some degree, right? You look at somebody and say, you know what? Yeah, they're kind of a loser and not my type and definitely not going to be going down the right road as I want to go down, but we'd make a really cute couple. You know, I'm like, oh, but he's just so nice and so charming. Like, we really have this odd conception. So this is kind of going back to this whole concept. Not long ago, I was reading a book called Sapiens. If you've read it, it's really quite fascinating. It talks a lot about the Neanderthal and Sapien concept, that the reason that this particular author believes that we became civilizations like we are now is our ability to believe in myths. For example, as has been shared by in his book, he talks about how like a dollar bill, at the end of the day, that's just a piece of paper. At the end of the day, that means nothing, but we believe that it means something, right? We believe that that dollar stands for something more than just a piece of paper. And that makes our society tick. If you walk across a state line, it doesn't really mean anything. It's a total illusion. Yet we perceive, oh, now I'm in Idaho. Now I'm in California. Now I'm in Maine. Like, we actually believe that, and we compare that, and we actually use that in our legal documents. We use that as the way we run our lives. Total fantasies, if you look at it in that, in a certain sense. Like, it's totally fantastic. Like, there is no difference. Like, you cross the straight state line, like, nothing really changes other than what we perceive to have changed. Stephen Covey once said, we don't see the world as the world is. We see the world as we are. We look at it through our own lens. And this man that wrote Sapiens argued that the reason our societies function is because of our abilities, our ability to believe in myths, our ability to believe in tribes, our ability to believe in civilizations, to say that I'm an American, right? Am I an American? That's literally just someone's made-up concept, yet I embrace it as truth. That's a very powerful concept when we really get into it, that this ability to believe in myths. So last night, going all the way back around, all these thoughts have been turning my head for quite a while, and last night I sat there and read Creating Shared Meaning. And he talked a lot about how people that have successful marriages are able to take essentially rough patches, good things, bad things, and they essentially attach it to a shared meaning and almost even fate, right? People that have amazing marriages often really do believe that they are meant for each other. And as a result, I've seen it go both ways, actually. I've seen people who are like, oh no, like, it was meant to be, it was written in the stars, we're meant to get together. And they use that as kind of a reason to, like, not have to work hard in the relationship. That does not work. Other people say, I could never end this relationship because I'm going to fight for this because we were meant to be. And I'll do whatever it takes to keep us together because we were meant to be. Like, this is my soulmate. This is my one chance. And even though I don't really believe in soulmates personally, I do believe that believing in soulmates is very, very powerful. So for me, what do I believe? I don't believe in finding a soulmate. I believe in essentially creating a soulmate, in the sense that when I find someone that I think I can spend my life with, I want to treat her like she is the only one, right? And that's the way that I live my life, right? And that's my personal belief. But it goes deeper than that, right? Why? I asked myself the other day, I'm like, why am I still close with my brothers? I have seven brothers, and I spend a lot of time with almost all of them. Some of them are kind of young, so it's a little bit difficult to spend quality time with them. But all of my even teenage to adult brothers, it's a huge priority to me to keep in contact with them. And I was like, okay, why is that? Because I look at both of my brothers, one that's older and one that's just younger than me. We don't have a lot in common. We were raised the same, and that has something to do with it. But as far as personality goes, you wouldn't find a lot of people that are more different than the three of us. Very, very different personalities. As different as three people can almost get in some ways. Yet we really cling to each other. And I would say, especially my older brother, he really makes it a priority to keep in connection with all of his siblings. And I thought, man, that is interesting, isn't it? Because it's at the end of the day, like, yes, we share blood, but what does that really matter? You know what I mean? Like, what does it really matter? Because we believe it matters, and that's why we work for it. Now, let's say that hypothetically, I was switched out at birth with somebody else and I didn't actually share the same blood as my brother. It wouldn't matter to him, right? It wouldn't be about the blood. It would be about his belief that we share blood. And we'd probably be close the rest of our lives just because of a certain belief that he let into his brain, and it stayed there. And that's what I've realized, is that that's why family is powerful, not because the blood actually is so strong, but often because the way we treat people based on them being family. Now, I can go both ways. As many of you know, being family does not mean you're going to have a relationship. But for my family, it means that we work hard. We treat it like the most important relationship. That was the way I was raised, was that family is everything. And so we work really hard on our relationships in my family. If we have disagreements, we try to deal with them immediately so they don't grow into grudges and conflicts. So what was so profound, and the reason I was up just tossing and turning last night about this, was the concept that I can choose as a proactive human being to create my own tribe and my own people, right? I don't have to be related to someone. As long as I plant the idea in my mind that someone's family to me, or that someone is like, you know, I need to cling to someone in a relationship or whatever, or I need to fight for relationships. At the end of the day, it's very rare to have friendships that just last because they last. Most of the friendships that really are awesome are the ones you have to fight for. And so, like many things though, you look at, I'll give you for instance, you were to take, I mean, I've had ideas that were planted in my mind, right, that affected everything. One of those ideas was that I was smart when I was a kid, right? My mom always told me that, and there's probably many, many kids out there that whose parents told them, "Oh man, you're so smart." Now, in hindsight, I don't know if it was the best thing ever to be told by a parent because it led me to some perfectionism, but at the end of the day, that one little idea planted in my mind grew into an enormous thought and an action and a lifestyle and habits. It's funny how much my life has been affected by one simple belief that was planted in my mind as a child. And I've been really going through my life going, okay, so what things are real? Because I realize, and I'm being very genuine here, I'm not that smart. I think I'm intelligent, sure, but I wouldn't say that I'm anywhere like any kind of genius, not even remotely in that category. I think I'm very curious, and that's probably my gift, is that I was given a very curious mind, but I would not consider myself, my memory's average, and actually below average in a lot of ways. My ability to process quickly is average, probably. I just am curious. But because I think that a lot of that curiosity was based from a belief that I was given to me as a child. So what does all this mean? And like, why am I talking about this? Pretty much what I am coming to believe is that we get to create our own stories. And those stories, we think that they're just stories, but they're really not. I've talked to a lot of friends about this. How many times, and maybe you don't relate to this, but this makes sense to me. So I hope this can click with someone here who's listening. How many times have you woken up and, you know, you met somebody who you thought, oh yeah, she's cool, you know, and maybe didn't think much of her other than, you know, this other person, maybe, you know, he or she, yeah, attractive, you know, interesting. And then that night you had a dream that you married him, right? Or you had a dream that you fell in love with him. This has happened to me like 3 or 4 times. And one of these times it caused me to work very, very hard for a relationship that did not make any sense. I worked so hard to date someone who in hindsight was just not good for me and I was not good for her. But because I had that idea planted in my mind, it grew and grew and grew, and I started to go, man, like, maybe this is the person I'm supposed to be with. Maybe there's fate. And this is why a lot I don't really believe in soulmates and all these different things. I just believe that we get to create that. And that's really kind of powerful. By a similar token, if I want to create my own lifestyle, I can do that as well. I can say, hey, you know what? What's not firing red in my life? I can say, you know, I'm just not the most sporty guy out there. Again, a funny thing that was planted in my brain because my brother was a natural athlete at literally everything he did. And as a result, being his younger brother, I considered myself very unathletic all growing up. And as I became an adult, I realized very quickly that whenever I was better than someone at sports, I thought, oh, they're even less athletic. And then the older I got, the more I realized I was gifted with an amazing athletic ability. But I could never see that, right? And it really held me back. And the more I started to overcome those false beliefs, I found that, man, I'm actually an incredible athlete. And I believe everyone has that decision to make. They can say, you know what? I'm just not a hard worker. I've heard that many times. People are like, Brunson, like, what? It's because you're raised on a farm. That's the reason why. You're raised on a farm. That means that you're a hard worker, and that's the way you were raised, and that's the way you are. And funny enough, I don't consider myself actually the hardest worker out there necessarily, but the funny thing about it is you can choose that. I really believe that. You can say, I am a hard worker. You can plant ideas into your mind, in your subconscious, that grows into a stream of thoughts, which then grows into a stream of actions, which then grows into habits, which then grows into a lifestyle, and eventually a legacy. You are hardworking, all because a simple idea was planted in your brain and allowed to be nurtured. Now, planting an idea is a lot like planting a seed. You have to nurture it, and you have to take care of it, and you have to let it grow, and you have to foster it. And so essentially, like, if you want to say I'm hardworking, for example, you have to actually find excuses to prove that to yourself. Ignore the ones that don't make sense. You might have times you're gonna go, oh no, you know, like, you might have times that you're lazy. You just let those things slide past. Focus on the times you were hardworking. And little by little, this idea begins to grow in your mind. I am hardworking. I am hardworking. And next thing you know, your actions begin to manifest that way. And as your actions manifest, guess what? More thoughts are planted in. More water is given to that small plant of an idea. And every time another action pops up, more water is added. Don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on the reasons why maybe you're not a hard worker. You might think, I'm not successful. Success is just like something you're born with. Some people have it, some people don't. Absolutely not true. I can tell you 1,000 times over that it's not true. You might say, "Oh, I'm not the businessy kind of guy." Who gets to determine what's a businessy kind of guy, right? Or like, I'm just not the kind of personality that's successful. Not true. I've met introverts, extroverts. I've met people that are high energy, low energy, that are all successful. Now, very common, yes. High energy people are more commonly successful. That can be very true, but plenty of people are not high energy and are very successful. Now, again, it's that planting the idea in the brain and allowing it to grow. You can also do this with ideas. I think you can plant ideas in your mind about, you look at like people that end up as lifelong best friends. What's funny about this is this is more common among people who don't think too much, in the sense that so what it is that these people, what they do is they both create a shared meaning and they say we're best friends, right? I've seen this many, many times. And because that label is involved and they have that title there and they both believe that, they will often endure way more than they ever would have had they not had that title. Which is why I think that labels like that can be very healthy. It's also why I believe in organized religion. And that's like a very controversial thing for a lot of people. They're like, I don't believe that. I believe you need to be free. I agree to an extent, yes. You don't want to be tied down by destructive ideas. Completely agree. I believe, though, in organizations. Because what you're doing is you're creating shared meaning. You're creating an idea that you will cling to that's way, way stronger than anything you could have on your own. And that's my opinion, I guess. But there's power in unity, especially in a unified idea. Even a single idea that's in your own brain is very, very potent. But you compound that idea over a wide number of people. I mean, and I spent a few years in Russia. And I can tell you there is some very, very deeply rooted ideas in people's minds about communism, right? A few people had some ideas about, man, if we can create a society in which everyone works together for the common good, and it really was an amazing concept, right? It's the kind of concept that would keep you up at night, that would make you feel like you could do anything, you know? It's that concept of let's get together and let's really see what humans can achieve when they work together, right? And then what they did is they took that concept and they indoctrinated an entire, not even a nation, an entire empire with that same concept. And some people were like, oh yeah, the people hated it. Yes and no. I can tell you from my personal experience that a lot of people really loved their time in communism. And they really did believe it. And some may not even think that, but I can see it in the way they compare it, especially being an American boy raised in Idaho. I can tell you right now, a lot of them deeply hold that as truth. Even the way they act day to day, very much they really bought into that indoctrination that was taught. So, but the point is the same though, that you can ideas are so powerful, and what we can do is we can create shared meaning, we can create an idea, we can create this essentially create organizations and clubs and concepts, and that gives us the power, very often, to overcome pretty difficult odds. So. Those are my thoughts. I hope this has all made sense. This is kind of a new idea, and this is very much in the beginning phases of this idea, but that's what this podcast is for me, is the chance to really just spit these ideas out, put them out there. I'd love your feedback. I'd love to hear what you think. You can comment below, and I think there's a comment box here on this podcast if you want. Let me know what you think. I'd love to really know what your thoughts are, but that's been lately what's been on my mind a lot. So with that, I wish you all the best of luck in achieving your goals, and we'll talk to you next time.